Good morning, everyone. Since Pastor asked me to do Sunday school and church, I have prepared two PowerPoints because I'm visiting Good News Clubs and I'm visiting churches. So Sunday school, you're going to get the children's version. You're not children, but you're going to get the children's version. So it has a few more fun kind of pictures. And then in church, I'm 2023, because I had to do that for regional education directors. Now, what you may not know, since I've said that, I'm going to start with that because I'm finding people don't know. My position is education director, regional education director of this area. There are 8 regions divided by CEF, and so there are 8 regional education directors. So there's only 8 of us. So I don't think I've ever told you that, but it's just kind of an exciting little thing. So this is the area I cover. That's Mongolia, way up at the top. And it is cold. It is a cold country. In fact, Ulaanbaatar, the capital, is the coldest capital in the world. And it used to be that I would go there mostly in December. And so I would come in my sandals and my, just like I am today, this is my overseas clothes. And they would meet me at the airport with my coat, my boots, a scarf. And Byarma was always so worried. That's the national director. And she'd button me up and tie the scarf and put everything around my head. I said, it's okay. It's okay. I know cold weather. I understand cold. But they were so afraid I would get cold. But it was so refreshing. For those of you that don't know, I am from the state of Colorado. That's where I was born and lived. And then I came down here to New Mexico. But we had cold weather. And it's very interesting. Sometimes I'll just look at Mongolia and Colorado, and it's the same temperature. And Mongolia is the most like my home of all the countries I go to. Now, northern China is cold. Japan gets winter. But you come down, and all those islands are hot. So their seasons are hot and hotter. Or wet and wetter, or dry and wet. So that's 34 countries. I have been in all of them except North Korea and New Caledonia, which I'm going to in October. I'm going to help them get CYIA started, Christian Youth in Action. So that's pretty exciting. So that just shows you where I roam around. And another interesting fact is it's 8 time zones. So if I leave from Asia and fly to our furthest point in the islands, it depends on where I've left. It can be a 5-hour time change. Because Tonga and Samoa start the day in the world. That's where the international dateline is. And one time we were in Samoa and we flew to America Samoa, which is on the other side of the international dateline. So we lost a day. We left on, I don't know what time. And when we came back, we gained that day. But it was a whole day's difference in time because of that international dateline. So that's just a little interesting facts about Asia Pacific. Now for some fun things. And I love Australia because God has put so much of his different creation in Australia. They have the 10 most poisonous snakes in the world and the 10 most poisonous spiders in the world. I haven't met any of them. This is fun for children because that's a little joy in his mother's pocket. And God's creation is just so wonderful. So there's the koala. Just such a beautiful little creature. And you do not say koala bear. If any of you say koala bear and you are in Australia, they will say, that's not true. So it's a koala. And There's lots of little animals. I don't know if you can recognize some of these, but that little one in the middle is a fuzzy little wombat. And then on the other side, he's sitting there. The wild dog. And do you know what this little black guy is? Tasmanian devil. They really are. They're quite an amazing little creature. And the one up in the top corner, I never can think how to say his name. He's an ECH something. So at the top, you see some of the different creation of God, and in the middle you see some of the beautiful creation of God, and at the bottom you see the wonderful little animals that he's created. So Australia is a beautiful place. Those birds are just absolutely amazing. A didgeridoo. A didgeridoo has beautiful music. Have you ever heard a didgeridoo? Wow. This guy was just playing. He has long ones. They don't need to be that long, but it's just beautiful music to listen to. And this is one of the Aboriginals from Australia. In the last week of August, the year that COVID hit, I was supposed to go to the Aboriginal outback to teach children. And instead, COVID hit and all things stopped. But this year in August, I get to go. So I'll be in the outback for a few days with the Aboriginal children. One of the ladies I have trained is the principal of a school there. And she teaches Good News Clubs, and she reaches those children for the Lord because they need Jesus. So most of the kids in her school know Jesus. Now, I went back a few years because, remember, this is for children. And lots of the fun things I got to do, riding elephants or being picked up by an elephant, that is me in the trunk of that elephant. And the other one getting ready for a ride. And then way up in Chiang Rai, I've gotten to do this a couple times, we went on a ride through the river and through the woods and came home in rain. I mean, came back to the spot. Pouring, pouring rain. But the elephants are amazing. They roam. There's lots of them still roaming. I was just in Laos, and it's another country that has lots of elephants, but didn't get to see any there. Have seen them in Myanmar. And then one of the most fun things I've ever done, and you've probably seen this picture, is ride a double-humped camel. Now, my sister and I looked up the names of one hump and two humps, and I forgot to check again. Anybody know the difference in their names? Dromedary is one. Bactrian is two. This guy, it's winter, it's December, you can see my winter clothes there, and that camel's wool was so thick that when I was sitting between those two humps, it was like sitting in a cushioned armchair. Absolutely amazing. And they make lots of clothes out of the camel hair, but it's very soft and very warm. Korea has lots of mountains, and when I was young, I used to get to climb up and over. In fact, remember, this is for children. One time, I had my birthday, and in those days, on Monday, they were all gone. We had classes from Tuesday through Saturday. And so my birthday was on Monday, and I thought, I don't want to sit in an empty building by myself on my birthday all day. So I got a map of the trains, and I went down to the train station. I got on the train. I went as far as the train went. Well, I think I had to change a couple times, and came out to a spot that I just followed the people, and up the mountain we went. But it was getting higher and higher and higher and higher, and I thought, oh, I don't want to stop if I'm almost to the top. So I tried to ask people, how much further? Nobody could speak English. So I just kept going. I finally made it to the top, which was wonderful. And there was a man up there. I'd never recognize him if I saw him again. He said, I'm going to help you go down. And I wouldn't have made it down without help. Because to go over those big boulders, I wouldn't have made it. So God just sent that man. I trusted him because there were so many people around. And this was a long time ago. But he got me off that mountain. Long way up, a long way down. But Korea's a beautiful, beautiful country. China. This is the wash basin. I mean, this is the wash room. We don't take baths when we're out in the country like that. There's not enough water and no hot water. But every day they would heat just a little bit of water, I think, so I could wash my face. And then we could brush our teeth. But that's all the water we had. So you can see it's not the nicest washroom in the world, but it works. And this is where they cooked our food in that particular place. That's a little rock or concrete, and you see the little hole. They're putting straw in there. They burn straw. And then all that heats up, and they cook their food. So these dumplings are ready to go into the dumpling cooker. And when they come out, they are delicious. So that's how they cook. And sometimes we have corn. Pretty basic meals, but nice meals. And then it's time to go to bed. And it's cold. I told you northern China can get very cold. And so this is where we're going to sleep, on top of that concrete block. And they're building the fire underneath. So when you first go to bed, it's really warm. But by the time morning comes, it's pretty cool. But the only place in the world I've slept on fire. But it's really nice. And then children always want to know, what are the fun foods you've eaten, or the strange foods you've eaten? And this is probably the most strange. Live octopus. Have you eaten live octopus? Ugh. I went to the table, and she says, time to eat. And I looked at the table, and I said, but it's still moving. And they said, chew it good, because if you don't, they're little suction cups will catch on your throat and choke you to death. I said, I'll chew it good. Now, I don't like octopus dead or alive, but I eat a lot of it. And since I've got a lot of time, I'll tell you one more story. The first time I ate live fish, I was in Korea, and they said, we're going out to have live fish tonight, my interpreter. So we went out to this seafood place, and we had all kinds of cooked seafood and raw seafood, but no live seafood. And I thought, whew, I think he was wrong. Then they cleared everything away, and they brought out bowls of water with shrimp swimming. And the man sitting next to me pulled one out, pulled his legs off, and I think he pulled his head off, I don't know, and he handed them to me. And I looked at this shrimp, and I said, oh, in my mind, I think I need a little wasabi on this shrimp. Y'all know wasabi? Hot, yeah. Good, I love wasabi. And they just served in a little bowl, so I stuck my chopsticks in that wasabi, and I gave him a nice rub. It must have really burnt, because he, and I went, wah! I threw him behind my back. And the man picked him up and said, here, eat it. So I did. And you know what? Raw shrimp is better than cooked shrimp. Now, raw shrimp is good. Have you had raw shrimp? Yeah? So, get lots of interesting foods. There's the other foods I've eaten. I won't tell you all the different kinds of foods I've eaten. Some you wouldn't want to hear. This is in Thailand, the Karen tribe, and these brass rings around their neck. You'll notice this is a child on this side and an older lady on the other side. Yeah, be sure I'm pointing on the right place. They add a ring every year. And by the time it gets this big, it can weigh 40 pounds. Now, they're called long-necked Karen tribe, but it's not that their neck is long. It's because the weight of those brass rings push their shoulders down, and that's how they keep adding. They add one a year. And if they were ever to remove them, their neck would break because the neck bone has gotten too soft under all that. I don't know how they sleep. But it's that tribe in Thailand. Very, very interesting. Now we're going to Myanmar. And this is Lake Inlay. There's a big lake there. And they have what is called one-legged rowers. And if you look carefully, you can see. I'll try my little pointer here. See, that's the oar, and that's his foot wrapped around it. And that's how they row. They don't row this way. They use their foot. They're called one-legged rowers. They do have two legs, one standing and the other one's doing the rowing. But it's a beautiful place. And I think the only time I've ever had food poisoning, we went out and we spent a whole day out here. And it was hot. It was warm. And they had cooked French toast. So we would have something to eat, but we didn't finish it. And when we got back in Myanmar, I have to stay at a hotel. They took me to the hotel. They left me the leftover French toast. It's all I had to eat. I didn't even think about it, and I ate it. And I was sitting at my desk working a little later, and I thought, I don't think I feel very good. So I laid down and I thought, okay, I think I'm feeling better. So I got back up to do a little more work and I didn't last long. I ended up in the bathroom so sick. I think it's the only time I've had food poisoning overseas. And it was probably the egg on the French toast that got me. But you know, when it's the only food you have, and I didn't think about it. But we were out in the sun all day, so it must have gotten nice. Now, this is for children. So these are children in Cambodia. They're on top in the little boat. They're going to school. Sometimes they just play out in the rice fields, play in the mud, and that's the way they live. This is Papua New Guinea. That little church up in the corner is the church where the Nob Nob people go to church. That's where my sister and her husband translated the Nob Nob Bible. And they went back last 22, the end of 22, for the dedication of the Bible. And my sister got sick, and they're with Wycliffe. They had to evacuate her, and they were flying her to Australia. The pilot, the doctor, Yules, her husband, and Verna, and an hour and a half out of Australia, she went to be with the Lord. So, God's timing. But, you know, they didn't live in Australia. They lived in Papua New Guinea. He couldn't go back to Papua New Guinea with her. And it's just, but that's their little church, and that's some of the children, and that's the water around Papua New Guinea. I put in one ocean picture for children because God's colors in the ocean are absolutely beautiful. You just can't imagine how beautiful it is. And the fish underneath, beautiful. This is Timor-Leste. And we are walking on a lake. Now, there's no water there. If you look in the mountains, you'll see it's very, very dry. It's dry season. The lake dries up. So when the wet season comes, the lake fills up. But while the lake is dry, the children come out and play, and I'd go for my walk every day, and they'd see me, and they just come running. They just couldn't talk to them. I don't speak their language, but we just had a great time. Usually the missionary was with me, and I didn't even know she had taken this picture until later she showed me, but it's just kind of fun. So those are some of the children in Timor-Leste. Now we're going back to Myanmar again. Last night saw just a little bit of news from Myanmar, and I don't know how many of you keep up with the news. I know one of you here is very interested in Myanmar, but the fighting, and they're finally evacuating a few of the Christians from one of the areas that is so bad, and they just, this government just has taken over again. And these four ladies in red, they came down from the north to see me. We had CMI, Children's Ministries Institute, by Zoom the year before. And I said, Renee, I don't know how we can do graduation. We can't do graduation because I've got the certificates. I've got the seals. I said, maybe we could come for a day or two next year. And we did. And we got in. And these four gals, I taught 30 years ago, and they're still in CEF. Two of them have had cancer. They just keep serving God. But the reason I've put this picture in is because on their way down, long drive, and they had to stop by 9 o'clock at night and sleep by the side of the road because there were bombs in trees and bombs planted in the ground, and it wasn't safe to drive at night. But God brought them safely and took them home safely. So it was an exciting graduation. And they had several young people from up there that had attended CMI. And they all made it down as well. One of the young men, well, I'll tell you about him in the next picture. This is just, you notice their dress. Their dress is beautiful in Myanmar. I have a suitcase of clothes there. When I go there, I wear their clothes. I don't know how I'm going to get all my suitcases home when I'm finished. But because it was so hard to get everybody together, there was one safe place to go. And we all got on a bus and we went to the beach. Now, we were there to just relax, enjoy, have fun. But these people are so dedicated to the Lord, it doesn't matter where they are. They are talking to the children. Now, the reason I brought my little fish up here, I have to tell you a couple of fish stories. But if you look at this picture, and if you look in our hands, there's a little fish there. That's my old fish that wore out. But it was getting towards evening, and we were going to have a little praise meeting, I think, and I was just sitting there waiting, and I saw all these children and this young lady, one of our students, she started looking around, and she asked, I knew she was asking her husband if he had a wordless book. And so I went over and I said, here, use my fish, because it was green. It was smaller than this one, and the blue was green. But if you look at all these colors, all the colors of the wordless book are there. And so she began to tell the wordless book story with a little colored fish. And not only the children came, if you look, there's an old man, an old woman, and they listened, and all of them received the Lord. A little fish. Now, I have to back up here and tell you another story. And I may have told you this story, but if I did, probably long enough ago, you don't completely remember. I was teaching in Nauru one year. Nauru is one of those little islands. In fact, when we landed at night, about 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning, they met us at the airport. They put keys in my hand, and they said, see that truck? That's what you're driving. And I said, oh. You drive on the other side of the road. It's after midnight. I'm tired, and I'm going to drive in a country I've never been in before. But you can't get lost. There's only one road. It goes around the island. And so So I drove that whole time. But we had class, and the director knew that I liked water. So she said, I've got two fishermen. We're going to go for a boat ride on Saturday after we finished, before we flew. So we're out on the boat, and we're enjoying it. And she said, now, these two young men need to hear the gospel. So we were almost back to where we had started, made a complete circle around the island. And I said to our director, I said, is now a good time? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, Chona, you do it. She's the one that was traveling with me. And she said, no, Miss Jan, you do it. Well, all I had out on the ocean was my little green fish. This one's blue, but it was green. All the colors of the wordless book. So I used that fish, told these two fishermen the gospel story, and they both believed in Jesus. But that's not the end of my fish story. We were in Marshall Islands. And Marshall Islands we were on Long Island. And when I was up in the air, I looked down and I saw this little strip of land running. I thought, wow. But I didn't even think, oh, that's where I'm going. That's where I was going. It's called Long Island. And you have a house here and a house here and the road here. And that's the island. Not very big. Beautiful. Now, I'm going to digress from the fish for a minute because I have to tell you something else about God's creation. We were right by the water. The church we were teaching at was right by the water. And I said to them, does the ocean, do the waves ever come over the island? They said, no. Maybe once in 100 years, it just doesn't. And when you look out, there's a big coral reef. Now, this side is where the waves come in. This side is called the lagoon. It's not really a lagoon because it's still the ocean, but it's not got the waves. So I would watch. The waves would hit that coral reef and just come in, and then as the water got closer to shore, it'd just be little tiny waves, and it made the most beautiful little trickling sound, and it would stop. Well, one day we had a big storm, and it was raining so hard, it was raining into the church. Water was coming into the church, not from the ocean, but just from the rain coming down. So I watched the ocean. And it was amazing. All these big waves. And you can look way out and you can see the big waves in the ocean. And they come in and that last big wave would hit that coral reef. And it would go, by the time it got to shore, it would go. And it would stop at the exact same spot it always stopped at. God's creation. Absolutely marvelous. So we were to leave Marshall Islands, and as we're standing in line, I'm looking at my ticket schedule. I said, they've got me in a middle seat. I don't ever sit in a middle seat. I think I'm allergic to middle seats. And the flight, we were going... You go over seven islands. You go up and down seven times. It's all these islands. One of them is Panape. One of them is where the Americans have a base. Can't think of the name of it. But seven islands. So I'm standing in the line and I begin to pray, oh Lord, please, please, please give me a window seat. And off to the side, there's this whole group of children. And they're standing there, and young children, maybe 10 years old, 11 years old, and finally got up to the ticket counter, and I said, oh, please, is there a window seat left? And she said, oh, sorry, no window seats. I said, okay, thank you. And so we got on the plane, and Chona and I were traveling together, but we weren't together, and on the aisle was a Filipino doctor. And so she was there, and then I was in the middle seat. But the window seat was still open. Finally, a big Marshallese young man came on, and he said, "That's my seat." And so the doctor got out, I got out, he went in, I went in, the doctor went in. Now, I'm telling you this because it gets very interesting. And we're sitting there, and I thought the plane was loaded, and the seat in front of him was empty by the window. So when the flight attendant came, I said, "Is that seat empty? Could I move there?" She said, "Oh." She said, "We still have a few more to get on, and there are no empty seats." So I'm kind of saying, "Oh, no, I can't sit in a middle seat." I don't know what words I said. And this young man sitting next to me looked at me and he said, I'll sit in the middle." I said, "You will?" He said, "Sure." So doctor got out, I got out, young man got out, I went in, young man came in, the doctor came in. And we're sitting there, and he said, "I need to go in the back with the children." And he was the one that was traveling with all those children. So he went to the back, and he sent a young girl up, 10 years old. And she's sitting in the middle seat. So once we got up in the air, I pulled out my little fish and told her a story, the gospel story with the wordless book colors. And she believed in Jesus. And all of the islands up and down, we talked and talked. And these kids were on their way to Tokyo, Japan. Now, if you know those little islands, well, you could see they were just little spots on a map. Taking all these young kids to Tokyo, which is now the largest city in the world. And we got to the last island before we'd get to Guam, and that's where they had to change planes to go to Japan. And she looked at me and said, "I really want to go sit in the back with the other kids." I said, "That's okay." So she went back, and a boy came up. And so I said, "Oh, thank you, Lord." But I don't know why I said what I said, or why I started the way I started, but I said to him, "Oh, do you go to church?" And he said, "Yes, I go to the Mormon church." And then now what do I do? So I prayed a little bit and thought and asked the Lord to show me what to do so I could talk to this little boy, because I kind of had the wrong opening to know he went to the Mormon church. Pastor, I have a cup of water sitting right there. Oh, thank you. I have a little hay fever in your city. I guess tickling my throat. Thank you. So, after a while, I thought, "Oh, you've got a wonderful fish story." So I asked him, "Do you like to go fishing?" All children like to go fishing in the islands. And he said, "Yes." So I said, "I want to tell you a fish story." And I pulled out my little fish and told him about the two fishermen that had taken us around the island. And then I said, "But this fish tells a story. You want to hear it?" He said, "Yes." And that little boy received Jesus. Now, for those of you who know the wordless book, we always share two verses. "I will never leave you. The Lord is my helper." From Hebrews 13. And so I talked to this little boy, and I had talked to the little girl too. They both were just scared. They were scared about going to this huge city. And so when we were just about to land, I looked at this little boy, and I said, "Are you afraid now? Do you need to be afraid?" He said, "Oh, no." And his eyes were so big, and he had the biggest smile on his face, and he said, "No, I'm not afraid, because I will never leave you." And he quoted the verses, and he just was claiming those promises. It was absolutely an amazing flight. And how did it start? With a middle seat. Isn't God good? He does such wonderful, marvelous things. So you can use anything to share the gospel message. There's only one message, but there's many methods. So my little fish has gotten to be used many times. So all of those people in that picture received the Lord. And the other children on this side, they went back the next day to share with them again. And then some of the workers were going to come back up to this place to follow up on all of these children that had been reached. It was just a pretty exciting graduation. So that was our trip with all of our people in Myanmar. We had 21 students. And on that trip, just to let you know how dangerous Myanmar is, one of the young men, his brother, had just been killed. On our way home, he got the news. The junta had shot him. This is Mongolia. Last year, we had Children's Ministries Institute, and we had three babies sometimes, but two babies always. In Mongolia, mothers have their babies with them wherever they are, wherever they go, their baby is there. When the baby needs to eat, they just feed the baby. It's just part of life in Mongolia. But in Mongolia, it's a pretty rough country. It's cold, as I told you. Summer's nice, like we have summers here. But bathrooms are not nice. And Biarma wanted us to have class at a campground. The CEF owns a campground. It's lovely. It's out. It's beautiful. But the toilet is down the hill, and it's squat. And I said, Biarma, I can't do that anymore. I can't do that anymore. You've got to find a place where there's a stool. And so she did. She found this place. But it was up four flights of stairs. No elevator. And the last couple years, I've picked up a backache. And one of the worst things for me is climbing stairs. Four floors. So we stayed there, but you know, you have to go out once in a while. So I would go down and take my walk and climb back up those four flights of stairs. But we had a wonderful group of ladies, and most of them are serving full-time now in CEF, helping Biarma across the country. Mongolia is a vast land. I'll tell you one more thing about Mongolia. And I didn't know this until we had class and my interpreter told me. They had a rough winter this past winter, and so much snow. And the people that live way out in the countryside, they live in gares. And children were losing their arms and their legs from freezing because they had to go out and try to get through the snow to get to the wood and the coal. They have one little heater in the middle of a gare, and that's how they heat. So inside they were warm, but it was so cold and so much snow, and so much of the livestock died. Now, Mongolia, they just run open range, but it was a rough winter. So if you ever think about, pray, these two countries, Myanmar and Mongolia. Mongolia from a rough winter. Myanmar from this army that's fighting the people all the time. But God does great things in Mongolia. My interpreter there, almost all the time, is a young pastor. He's been interpreting for me for probably 15, 20 years. And he has a church. He's a pastor. And he said, Jan, I want you to come and talk to my young people about missions. I said, sure, I'd be glad to. So one Wednesday night, this is the young people's group. And I shared some, and then I said, you have questions. Now, I'm glad that, I guess the pastor had told me, so many of these young people want to be Christians, but their parents are violently opposed. Now, this is not a Muslim country. It is a Buddhist shaman country. And they do not want their children to be saved. So after I had spoken to them, I said, you have questions. And I think the first question a young girl, and I had shared my testimony. I was saved when I was 4 years old. I grew up in a Christian family. And I had shared that as part of my testimony. She said, were your parents opposed to you believing in Jesus? So I knew where she was coming from, and I was able to talk to her. But these young people, you know, we don't know what young people go through. They want to believe. And I asked Pastor this last time, we just had class there, I said, what about your young people? And most of them are coming to know the Lord. Is that exciting? It's a harsh country, and it's a shamanism country, which is takes Buddhism a little different route. Now, these will be, you'll see a little repeat in church. But we had an instructor-teacher's course in Indonesia. But we also had students from Timor-Leste and Malaysia. Now, most countries do not speak the same language. In fact, we have 17 major languages, in the region I work in. But these three countries can understand Bahasa, Indonesia. So we were able to let some come from these other countries. And it was a great class, just being able to share together. We had our Asia Pacific Regional Conference last year, and our missions director from headquarters, I was so busy. I got so tired. But it was so wonderful because I was doing sessions on CYIA, How to Get Started, Christian Youth in Action, Go and Tell, which is a new program where we train children to go and tell, and Christmas party clubs. And I was just busy all the time. But I've been getting letters from the different countries. Oh, we're having JYC, Junior Youth Challenge. Oh, we just had Go and Tell, and we have all these children, and sometimes they send pictures. Oh, we're getting ready for CYIA, and I thought, wow, Lord, it's so good. So sometimes the body gets tired, the mind gets tired, but God is at work. So it was pretty exciting. And then we have a new regional director. And I've been 30 years, last year I was 30 years in Asia Pacific. Is that amazing? I've been gone from here 30 years. Unbelievable. And Pastor, it's 57 years I've been in CEF. That's a long time. But they gave me, one night they just honored a little bit with, just for 30 years of ministry. God's call. God sent me. I never dreamed I would be serving overseas. And when I left here, I thought I was going for 2 or 3 years. Well, I've been there 30. This is 31 years this year. So it's exciting. And then this is just some children in Australia. There's many different, some of these are Lebanese children. We have a lady, one of the directors, her mother, they immigrated from Lebanon. Her mother taught Good News Club in Lebanon many, many, many years ago. But there's lots of Lebanese people in Australia, of course, many others as well. Jesus said, look at the fields. They are white, ripe for harvest. So those are just some fun pictures and some fun thoughts. I do want to tell you one more, and this is because I've got 5 minutes left. Is that right? The island of Tuvalu. I don't know if you've heard about Tuvalu, but it was one of the islands. They were buying land in Fiji because they were afraid of climate warming, and they thought their island was going to sink. So they bought land in Fiji so they could have some place to go when their island went under. Well, their island's not going to go under. It is a narrow little island. In one place, You have the road and the ocean here and the ocean here. It's just that wide. It's a very narrow little island. The children do not have a place to play. Where do they play? On the airfield. That's the biggest place in the island. And so when it's time for an airplane to land, the fire truck comes out. He drives around with his fire siren blaring, and everybody gets off the field. The plane lands. People come out, go in the airport. They park the plane. The fire truck drives around again, blows his siren, and all the people, not just children, the adults, everybody. That's the place where they gather, they walk, they talk, they play soccer, they play volleyball, anything you want to do, you do it there, because there's no other place for them to play. Is that interesting? And their island is still floating. I don't know if islands float, but it's not sinking. It's not sinking. And it will not sink because God is in control. Okay, we have time for one question. Anybody have a question? During church, I'll talk more about the ministry. This is just fun things with children more. Any questions? Yes. Oh, I don't know that I have a favorite. They're all favorites. Well, but maybe one, but this will surprise you. And some of you will know it and some of you won't know it. I got sick in China. And it's a miracle I'm here. But you know, when I think back to those, I don't know how I lived, but God brought me through it. But you know, as I think back, it's a good memory. I don't always think of the pain. If I talked about one day, I would cry if I told you, because the pain was, I can't even describe the pain. But the CEF workers stopped working to take care of me. And in the emergency room, my interpreter had to be, not emergency, ICU. Well, emergency room as well. ICU. She had to be with me all the time because I didn't speak Chinese and they didn't speak English. And she was with me until she had to go back to go to school. And then one of our workers had a young son who could speak English. He would come in every morning. He would read my Bible to me. The churches, the house churches, would come in. They would sing. They would pray. And they would leave money. So that's a good memory. It was a rough time. I was flat on my back for 28 days. Which included a bedpan, and the doctor said, don't move, and don't cough. And I said, wow, Lord, you have a big assignment here, because I do not lay still, and I cough. I have a chronic cough. But you know, God is amazing. So I look back at that as one of my good memories, I think, because of what God did. But every country has its own story. Every country, the people are wonderful. I love it. I just, it's just beyond words. Yes.
How many languages do you speak, and how many did you speak when you started?
I started with one. I'm ending with one. So people say, why don't you learn the language? Well, I can't learn 17 languages. I can't do that and do all the teaching I'm doing. So I stand with an interpreter, and they always speak. One time I went to Vanuatu, and there they could speak English. And I started, and I stopped, and I waited, and nobody talked. I said, oh, I don't need an interpreter here. So I get so used to teaching with an interpreter, sometimes it's hard.